Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
As we've been hearing, Ireland will send military special forces and two diplomatic officials to Afghanistan to help evacuate Irish citizens. The news comes after the Taliban said they won't extend the deadline for Western forces to leave Afghanistan. Just before I came on air, I spoke to the UN's former Deputy Secretary General, Mark Malloch Brown, who worked on UN relief plans in Afghanistan following the Soviet departure and again when the Taliban was toppled in 2001. I began by asking him how Ireland can use its current seat on the UN Security Council to help the Afghan people.
Well, look, I think it's an incredibly important time for Ireland to hold this seat. And your natural allies of Norway, who also have a seat at this time, in two small, relatively non-aligned countries who are long-term champions of liberal, human rights-oriented, women's rights-oriented values in foreign policy and humanitarian and development work. And Ireland should not slack from using that voice to maximum impact. In terms of what, if I may, you should be asking for is, one, a big push on humanitarian departures now. The situation at Kabul airport still remains a crisis. It's not going to get resolved by the end of the month, the American declared finish date. So pushing for strong program of and protected program of departures for those at risk is critical. But the great majority of Afghans are going to stay behind. And for them, you know, we can't cut them off. Dispute with a Taliban-led government for people in the West is very real. But nevertheless, the people of Afghanistan, who already were in a very food insecure situation this year, which has only been exacerbated by recent events, are going to need strong humanitarian support and, you know, a strong UN presence to monitor human rights.
The difficulty, Mark, is we know from today that the Taliban are saying we are not going to extend the deadline by which Western forces can evacuate their citizens and indeed some Afghan people as well. And there's a huge question mark then as well around humanitarian aid, isn't there? Because some countries in the West have actually suspended humanitarian help because they don't simply trust the Taliban as to what they would do with it. You've been through this before, haven't you? You've designed relief work, you've worked on the ground in Afghanistan with regime change. How best to get humanitarian help to the people who need it most in the country, in your opinion?
Well, President Reagan, when he was trying to agree nuclear disarmament with Mikhail Gorbachev, devised this phrase, trust but verify. And I think, you know, we actually need something even more rigorous and oversightful than that, maybe test and verify. But the fact is, the starting point has got to be, how can we deliver humanitarian assistance? Remember, the Taliban faces a huge economic mountain. It's had all its main development aid of the country suspended, the World Bank, IMF, etc. And I don't see any Western donors really coming in with the sort of economic support funds to development that were in place under the last government.
Nobody in the world will benefit from a destabilized Afghanistan, surely. The opium trade is open again, it seems, or could be rife if it's not stabilized. And also, it could become a breeding ground yet again for terrorism. So how best do you stabilize the situation in Afghanistan now? Do you apportion a certain level of legitimacy to the Taliban, or do you reject the Taliban as a government outright from the West's point of view?
I think you've got to press the Taliban, and you may initially withhold recognition in the cases of part of the West until it's seen to be a broader, more representative government. But, you know, you need to show that there is a process underway to work with them. And I think, you know, the critical mistake or trough that Western policy has got itself stuck in is this view that Afghanistan is a sort of total win-lose equation. And you can understand it. This has been a humiliating period for Western policy, particularly for the US, UK, and their principal NATO allies. But in truth, there is, as you said, a fundamental mutual interest amongst the permanent members of the Security Council, as well as countries like Ireland, currently on the council, in a stable, secure Afghanistan.
If that is to be found, it will be found at the United Nations, but surely a fundamental problem here with the Security Council is that Russia and China and America all have a veto.
Well, I think the way to overcome the problem of the Security Council veto is even more compelling than their national interests should be the collective common interests in a stable, secure Afghanistan. And it's a little notice piece of recent Security Council conversations in the months leading up to this moment that China, with Russia's backing, was floating the idea of a strong UN Security Council resolution with a peacekeeping component in it, because China recognizes that it does not need a radicalized Islamic state on its doorstep with potential support to its own Uyghur minority. And, you know, Russia has similar difficulties in the Caucasus with its Muslim minorities. So this shared interest in security on the West side, not wanting enhanced migration flows, etc., you know, is somehow gets lost because there's so much pride and humiliation at the moment. The Americans have gotten a bloody nose. They're pulling out of Afghanistan. It's hard for the Chinese and Russians not to dance on that particular grave. Mm-hmm. And on the Western side, it's similarly hard to accept that they need to re-engage after this. But if only countries could just, and this is where an Ireland or a Norway is so important, just lift their statesmanlike ambition for a moment and think of the good of the world and the people of Afghanistan, then still the Security Council might surprise us all by rising to the challenge.
Well, there is definitely an urgent need for such a solution beyond narrow self-interest, but we'll see if it comes anytime soon. Mark Mallock-Brown, then former UN Deputy Secretary General and President of the Open Society Foundations. Thank you very much indeed. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
All right. Thank you.